Thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We are thankful for the fact that you are a part of our congregation. We're trusting the Lord will make our program a real blessing to you. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and this program comes to you from the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We're opening our service with the Way of Truth singer singing for us, Who is on the Lord's Side?
Now to God be granted all the praise and glory, for He gave His Son on Calvary to die. The Son gave His life on old Golgotha. Now who is on the Lord's side tonight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right?
Yes, upon the cross there hang our blessed Savior. And the clouds came o'er the sun and hid the sky. But the price for our salvation there He purchased. If unto the words of God you'll draw nigh. Now
who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right?
Now
who is on the Lord's side among you?
Tell me
who is on the Lord's side tonight.
Our Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege we have of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're thankful for the gospel, for Paul said it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So may the Holy Spirit accompany our broadcast service today. Make it a blessing to each and to everyone in our congregation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our musical part of the broadcast service now with a selection entitled, God is Still Mindful.
My spirit be saved.
Our subject today, the temptations of Jesus. And our scripture lesson is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. One of the blessings of having Jesus as our Savior is his ability to comfort and to aid those who are tempted. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Studying the temptations of Jesus can help us be more successful in our overcoming temptations. Now, the setting of these temptations, Jesus had reached 30 years of age, and he went to the Jordan River where John was baptizing, and he had John to baptize him, not that he had sinned or anything, but as an example for others. He was baptized, and when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God came upon him in the form of a dove. And we read, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, notice the Spirit led him into the wilderness, but the Spirit did not do the tempting. God does not tempt anyone to do evil, so the Spirit led him into the wilderness to fast there, and the devil tempted him. According to Luke, he was tempted during his 40 days of fasting. The Spirit did not tempt Jesus, I say. God does not tempt anyone, but he does allow Satan to tempt his children. Since this followed his baptism, in the wilderness of Judea, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and it seems from the book of Luke, I say, that Jesus was tempted during this time. But our subject deals with the three temptations that came to Jesus after he had ended his fast. For the Bible says, after he had ended his fast, he was hungry. The first temptation, Matthew tells us that when the fast ended, Jesus was hungry, having fasted for 40 days. Jesus was naturally hungry. Satan tries to get him to prove he was the Son of God. Notice how Satan approached him. If thou be the Son of God, trying to plant a doubt in his mind as to whether he was the Son of God, and trying to get him to react without really considering the matter to prove that he was. But Jesus was not taken off guard. He knew the tactics and ways of Satan. If Satan can plant a doubt in our hearts, he is gaining an advantage over us. On the other hand, if he can get Jesus to react by saying, in effect, I am the Son of God and I'll show it to you, he would have been able to get Jesus to obey him. Jesus did not fall for Satan's trap. He simply used the word of God on him. It is written, man shall not live by bread only, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. There is more to life than just the physical. There is the spiritual life that needs to be taken care of. Now, the second temptation, Satan appeals to the pride of life. Again, Satan uses the word if he be the Son of God, then he wanted him to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Satan had taken him up to Jerusalem, and there on the pinnacle of the temple, he tempted Jesus to cast himself down. Now, the pinnacle of the temple was not a part of the roof of the temple. There was a corner of the wall that went around the Temple Mount that was very high. On one of my Bible Land trips, I went to that part of the wall and got up and looked down into the Kidron Valley, and it was quite a ways down there. And this is considered the Temple Mount, or the place where Jesus was taken and was tempted. Another thing that I want you to notice here in regard to this, Satan was able to quote the scripture. In fact, I would say the devil knows the scriptures better than we do. The only thing is he puts the wrong meaning on it. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. So Satan knows the scriptures, but again I say, he quotes them and uses them, but he misrepresents them. Just because a man can quote the scriptures doesn't mean that he is a man of God. I say Satan knows the scriptures better than we do, and he knows how to twist them and how to misrepresent them. But Jesus responded again by using the word of God. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, and that's Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. Jesus did not come to draw attention to himself or to give in to the flesh. You do not find him doing anything for show or for personal gain. Now, the third temptation, Satan appeals to the lust of the eyes and material wealth. Taking Jesus to a high mountain and showing him the various kingdoms of the world, he offers to give them all to Jesus, if he would worship him. Now, I don't know how Satan thinks he had him to begin with, because I read in the Bible that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the one we know as Jesus Christ was the one who had made the worlds, according to St. John in chapter 1. All things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. And the Apostle John, Paul, also tells us that Jesus is the Creator by God's power in Colossians 1:16. So the devil was offering him something that was not really his. Oh yes, Satan had multitudes of people under his control, and in that sense, he may have had the world, but God said, all souls are mine. But anyway, this is the way the devil came at Jesus with this third notable temptation. But again, Jesus Christ used the word of God on him. And that is a lesson for us that we need to follow. We should never argue with Satan or even talk with him, as it were. We should resist him, steadfast in the faith, and use the word of God on him. Jesus responded, "It is written, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, let us take some observations from these temptations of Jesus. First of all, Jesus was tempted by the devil, and so are we. Yes, we'll not be able to live a Christian life without being tempted by the devil. There is a warfare. That's why the Lord provided us with an armor, because there is a warfare. Living the Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not a rocking chair that you sit down and rock your way to glory. It is a battle to be fought. Trials and tests will come our way. But remember this, the Lord faced us. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are. And he overcame, because the Bible says he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And he has promised us power over all the power of the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We should take the devil seriously, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And there's where Paul goes on and tells us that we should put on the whole armor of God, that we be able to stand against the devil when he comes against us with his temptations. And now the Bible also tells us, James the apostle said, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Now, Jesus defeated Satan by using the Scriptures, and that's the way we should meet him. That's the way we should be able to defeat him, by doing the same thing. And to be able to do that, we must know what to teach the Scriptures are, we must know what they teach, and we must be able to rightly divide them. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Jesus defeated Satan by using the Scriptures, I say. Material things cannot satisfy the soul. We must not misuse the Scriptures as Satan did. Jesus used them correctly, and we need to do the same. Jesus said in regard to that wicked one, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Yes, and the thief that he was talking about was the devil. The devil would like to steal our affections away from God. You notice in this temptation that I read, the second one, that the devil tempted him to worship him. The devil would have delighted in having Jesus to worship him. And the devil will try to steal our affection for God and for the things of God so that we can worship him. Yes, and he has multitudes of people in the world today who are worshiping him. I know there are people who don't believe there is a devil, but that's because the devil has them blinded and deceived, and they are already serving him, but they don't realize it, they don't know it. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we must use the Word of God and use it rightly, because the Word of God is only the Word of God as long as it is rightly divided, and it's only effective as long as it is rightly divided. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and the Word of God will stand forever, and the Word of God can be used to defeat the powers and the forces of evil and to overcome this sinful world in which we live. Yes, by the grace of Almighty God, we can obey the Word of God. We can live by the Word of God, and if we will do that, we will live a holy and a righteous and a godly life. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, lessons to learn from the temptations of Jesus is that we have a Savior who was made like unto us, that he might be our merciful and faithful high priest. So we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Jesus gives us some very good and sound instructions. And I repeat James chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. We draw nigh unto God by studying the Word and applying it to our lives, and by also praying. For men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is part of the armor that we must use to overcome the temptations of the devil. And by the grace of Almighty God, we can. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and thoughts with our precious congregation today, and we trust the Holy Spirit has accompanied what has been said and make them a blessing to souls, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if our broadcast is a blessing to you, why not let us know? It would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to let us know that the service is a blessing to you. Our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741 USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741 USA. Or you can communicate with us through our email, and our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And we invite you to go to our webpage if you've missed any broadcast, or if you'd like to read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, you may do so. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. Also, we invite you to be with us, if at all possible, in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6, our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week at the same time for another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.